What's up, guys? It's been a minute. I was trying to think of the last time I was here, and I actually cannot think of it. But today we are going live with Nanel and Lakay, and we are discussing grief. So let me get her in here. I hope everyone is doing well today. Super excited about this topic because this past year I feel like everyone has grieved in one way or another, and I mean even before this year we've had grief going on, but I feel like it's very important to discuss this topic in this moment. So yeah, just waiting on her to join. Awesome. Let me add her in.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm super well.
Let me get my
Courtney,
angle.
Courtney, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Yes. Let me get my angles together. But I'm super excited to have you today. Pretty much already told them the topic, but I'll just say it again for those who maybe weren't on here at first. So guys, welcome to Freedom Revamped. If you've not been here before, I'm Courtney, the owner and founder, and today we are discussing grief with Nanel Lakay. Like I said, I feel like it's important that we discuss this because this past year everyone has grieved something in one way or another. So I feel like this topic is super important for everyone who is dealing with grief or might deal with it in the future. So before we get into the topic, I want to ask you to tell our viewers a little bit about you if they don't know who you are.
No problem. I'm cleaning my glasses, y'all. I can't really see. I don't know why I came in here trying to do all that. But no, I'm Nanel Lakay. I am a writer, actress, producer, filmmaker here in Atlanta, Georgia. I actually, years ago, coming up in the Alliance Theater, doing Brave New Voices, as well as just being a part of Atlanta Word Works, which are theaters and arts communities here in Atlanta. I grew up and I realized, okay, I definitely need to steer my focus to mental health. Creating art that's mental health oriented, because I do battle with a few mental illnesses myself, and they run in my family. Important for me to create art that also serves the very demographic I'm a part of. So that's a little bit about me and what I'm doing currently.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to have you here. At Freedom Revamped, it is our goal to have everyone be able to pursue their purpose, discover their identity, as well as perfect internal freedom. But before you can even perfect that freedom, you must know what freedom means to you. So that's the very first question I have, is how do you define freedom?
For me, I think a lot about this, actually. But I think freedom is a side effect of love. I think if you love yourself and you love people, then you're going to accept them as they are. And that's within its own right. Like, you know, if you have specific boundaries, then it's understandable for you not to have, not to outwardly love specific people because they exist outside of your boundaries. So I understand that. But for me, freedom is definitely love. It's waking up and knowing that I can do whatever the hell I want, whenever the hell I want. And I don't have to answer to anybody because who I am is, I'm ethical in essence. So if your freedom is unethical, if it impedes upon others, then if that's not freedom, that's just violence.
I 100% agree with that. Another question I have, and I actually came up with this question, I was in a Facebook group for Black entrepreneurs, and I posted about Freedom Revamped and who we were, and somebody commented, this is a Black entrepreneurs group. We're not free in this country, so we don't want to hear about that. And I was like, yes. That was the comment. And I remember I was like, okay, well, since we live in a country that does try to hinder us from achieving freedom, maybe we can find a way to practice freedom within our own rights. So based on your definition that you just gave, how do you practice freedom in your daily life? For some people, that looks like journaling. For some people, that looks like canceling out outside noises. But how do you practice freedom when people try to kind of hinder you from it?
I would think for me, because I was also homeschooled up until college, so I was very much shielded. So for me, when I'm participating in my own freedom, it's quite literally me showing up however I feel to show up. And me not code switching, me not making myself small, me not relying on my niceness to be enough for people. It's me saying, no, this is what I need. Me saying, no, you're stepping on my boundaries. Me being my own advocate, I would say, like, that's what freedom is for me. My tongue, if I'm not using it in spaces and in occurrences in which I know I need to defend myself, I'm not acting as freely as I would want. But there is an exception to that, and that's when you are in danger. So it's like I'm being catcalled or in a specific situation that I know if I am to be as free as I desire to be, something negative might happen to me. That's preservation. So freedom and preservation can coexist to me.
We might have to have another conversation about that one, because that was good.
Right,
that was good.
Friends.
Yes. Yes, that was good right there. So to go into our topic of today, which those of you who are just joining, we are talking about grief. Over time, I've learned that grief does look and feel different for everyone. Some people, you look at them and you're like, I know you just lost someone, and it doesn't even, you know, look like it, but that's because it's different for each of us. So how would you describe grief?
I would have to describe it for myself, because like you said, it does look different on everyone else. For me, it's because I've experienced both. But how would I define that? Like, when you're able to operate, there's a certain grief that I've experienced when I'm able to operate and do day-to-day tasks. And then there is another form of grief where I shut down completely. I'm ordering food because I don't want to cook. I don't have the mental capacity to hold myself down. And so I just define it as just reclusion. I define it as just going back into the ways in which I used to when I was homeschooled and just being alone. So that would be what grieving looks like for me.
Yeah, I think grief for me, I recently had someone close to me pass, like, maybe 2 months ago, and I honestly got scared, because in the midst of me grieving, I was able to comfort other people, and I was like, okay, why is it not weighing on me? Have you, like, I thought it would, like, honestly, if you were, and most people, we don't think about, if I were to lose this person, how would I feel about it? But I was handling it way better than I thought I would. So for me, I think in moments where everyone around me is grieving, or everyone around me is going through something tough at the same time, I feel like God almost gives me the strength to be able to help other people. And then later on, it hits me like, boom. It's like, okay, he needs me to be strong for everyone else around me. And then when it's time, he'll allow me to go through that process. And a lot of people think that grief isn't a healthy emotion, but honestly, like, I was concerned when I wasn't feeling it, so I feel like it's honestly a healthy process if you allow it to be.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I was doing some research, I want to say maybe a couple of months ago, and I came across a therapist who was talking about how the stages of grief is actually inaccurate, because there's no real, like, science behind it. And so whoever came up with the stages of grief was really just talking about their own grief and the ways in which they saw people around them grieve. So it's not even a good guide to have. So you're completely right. There are people like you who can put on a brave face and be a caretaker in the midst of grief. And then after that, you have to self-reflect and then take care of yourself. And you feel down. So, like, there are so many ways to feel shitty. So many.
Yeah, I agree. So since we're already talking about the phases of grief, and it honestly might vary depending on who you're grieving, but what would you say are the phases you mainly go through when you're grieving someone or something?
Yeah, I think a lot like you, it depends on what I'm grieving, but I've had to be the caretaker. And I think that that's just a role that a lot of Black women take on when people pass away or when tragedies occur. Like, we feel like we have to get everything in order. We have to cook food, we have to make sure people are eating, we just have to do so much. Excuse my alarm system. But I've definitely been the caretaker. But when I'm able to really feel my own pain, I lean into it. That's something that I've learned works for me. I can't ignore my grief. When I was much younger, I used to try to. I'm like, no, I'm not feeling that. I'm fine. I wouldn't cry at the funerals, or I wouldn't acknowledge a situation as being as traumatic as it was. And as I've gotten older, I've
Okay, sorry, somebody was calling me. I had to fix that. But can you hear me? Thanks. Okay, hold on. I can't hear you. That's why I was asking. It just messed it up completely. Okay, hopefully it'll come back. Let me see if I can.
All I see is your mouth moving. I'm going to exit you out there and bring you back in. Hopefully this works. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
It's when the call came through, everything just shut down. I don't know.
Okay.
But so with me, you just explain like how you navigate through it. For me, I think the very first time I experienced grief, I mainly went through the anger stage of it. That particular person was a family member of mine. She was a cousin who I was very close with, and she was in the hospital for a while and was actually on life support. They were in, here in Mississippi, and I went back to Georgia with my mom because school and work. And so when I found out that she passed, I was so angry that the decision was made and that I wasn't there and that God didn't hear our prayers. And that's another thing that's a completely different topic. Sometimes God heals people in the way that we don't expect him to. But I think that very first time I experienced a lot of anger. And then after it, I kind of strengthened my relationship with God to the point where it was more so, well, they're not going through the pain of whatever they were dealing with anymore. So, I think that was what how I first started feeling grief and how I first navigated through it. But each person that we lose is, like we said, it's different. So, next question I have is, what are ways that you have found that help you cope with your grief?
Oh, that's a good one. Immediately, I return to what I said previously about leaning into it. I feel it. I'll get into a bathtub. I'll cry my heart out, with a glass of wine. I'll really soak in that grief. I want to feel all of it. I want to allow myself the opportunity to be ugly and gross and snotty nosed. I think that's a very important part of my grieving process that I neglected to participate in long ago. So that's what I do initially. And then after that, I ask myself, what do I need? I have a best friend, Mecca Verdell, who's a poet in Baltimore, and she's recently been telling me, like, ask yourself, what do you need? Don't try to work and do things. Ask yourself. So if it's, I need a therapy session, I need to expedite that, then I'll do that. I need a home cooked meal. I ask my grandma, can you cook me something? I look at my community and think about the resources that I have that I don't tap into. And I tap into them because my community already loves me. So they're going to take care of me because I've taken care of them. So that's the second step. And then for me, I just try to seal it up. Okay, we've grieved. We've taken care of ourselves. How do we move forward? How do we seal this wound? And sometimes it's quite literally processing what had happened and saying the words, this person has died and that's the reality, or this is what happened to me and that's the reality. Not sugarcoating things, but accepting what it is as what it is.
I agree. I think I have a very close-knit family, and most of the people I have lost were family members or family friends. So in the very first stages of grief, we're all like, okay, we all need to lean in on each other because that's one of the only ways we know how to get through it. And it's like, we're all going through it together. So I think I definitely agree with the fact of leaning on community when grief is occurring. Because it's one of the easiest things for me to do. I know that there are other people going through this, so I know I'm not the only person feeling it. And I also try to look back on memories I have with people that I've lost. It's a very good feeling to be able to know that you created those memories. And sometimes it's hard when I'm looking back at photos or videos because I'm like, wow, why can't we have more moments like that or more moments like this? But when I find myself asking those questions of why or why not, then I just have to remind myself to be grateful because there are so many people who don't get to form those type of relationships that I've had. Yeah. So I think that's what I do, is leaning on community and reminding myself to be grateful. Another thing I do to cope is journaling, which is something I've recently taken more serious. Just writing down how I'm feeling, why I'm feeling it, and navigating through it to see how I can actually get through it. I'm still working on what you said about allowing myself to fully submerge into it, because it's very hard sometimes. Sometimes you literally, when you're grieving or when you're feeling whatever emotions, you can feel it physically too. So sometimes it hurts so bad that I feel it physically and I'm like, do I really want to allow myself to do this? But honestly, if you try to suppress it, it's going to come eventually. So, and that's something I'm learning and working on. So pray for me in that area.
I got you. Yes. I got you.
But we also wrote down that oftentimes after we lose a loved one or a relationship, it could cause distance or challenges in other relationships we have going on in our lives. So how can we find support when this is happening?
I think that and that's why I tell people to lean into their grief, because there's a part of us that we are not fully aware of and we are not catering to, and we don't know how to take care of ourselves when we're in that state. You really have to lean into those feelings and learn what they are and where they're derived from. To even be able to communicate to someone about what you need. So if I know that I'm in a really depressive state and I'm suffering immensely, talk to your partner. If they are your love interest, if they're your mama, whoever it is that you are in partnership with throughout life, talk to these people and tell them, hey, I'm not doing too well. And this is what this looks like for me. Like, I may seem strong when I'm going to work and when I'm picking up groceries, but when I get home or even in the car rides home, I'm just not well. So to create the vocabulary of just knowing how to convey what it is that you need is so important. But you don't know what you need if you don't know what you're feeling. You don't know what you need if you haven't felt the feelings that you are feeling. So it's definitely a second step to the resolution. First, feel the feelings. And then really deeply and honestly convey them to others. Because I know we're scared that we're going to be judged. And you might be. Because people in their own relationships with grief and just mental health are different, right? But if they judge you for it, you just know who you can't bring certain things to, who you can't rely on. And you find your community in being transparent in that way.
I agree. I see someone commented, and I think I have a question similar to this written down, but I'll go. We can go ahead and answer this comment. And they said, how do you know the right time to talk to a support group or go to counseling? And I'll let you go first. I have an answer for this, but I'll let you go.
I will say there's never a wrong time to do any of that. To seek help or guidance, there's absolutely never a wrong time. But if you are questioning it, it's the right time. If you think about it, it's the right time. If you're wondering, it is the right time. Because when you go and you seek help, you're always going to come back with something. I won't say always, because you have to remember that therapists are like doctors. All of them are going to give you different, you know, information and advice. But typically when you go, you're always going to receive something that you can use. And something that may be useful in some way, shape, or form. So I would say anytime, to be honest.
Yeah, and I would say we recently released a podcast episode called Pray and Go to Therapy. Our prayer works and so does therapy. And the guest we had on that episode was saying that therapy or counseling or support groups, it isn't something you do when you're going through something. You should do it anyway. And a lot of times we're like, oh, I need to go to therapy because I'm dealing with XYZ. But there is so much that you will learn about yourself if you just go, just to go. So, and I know we're talking specifically about grief, but so I'll agree with Nanelle on that part. If you're questioning it, then it's the right time to do it. But it's something I feel like we all should do regardless of, because I just lost someone or because this tragic moment just happened to me. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I agree. Because the thing about just being a human or a person, mental health disorders and depression, all these types of things don't just show up in ways that affect you negatively. Sometimes they show up and you just learn how to navigate them. Like they become things that you attribute to your personality. And so if you do go see somebody and you're talking about your day-to-day life, you may find out that some ways in which you are interacting with the world are because of things that happened to you as a child or because of things that, you know, you've grown to cling to for survival. So definitely go to therapy, you know, annually, whatever that looks like for you, every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever that looks like for you if you feel like you don't have issues. But I would recommend once a month. I just would.
So I hope that answers your question. If it didn't, then you can comment like another question that will kind of help us dive into it deeper. But I have personally experienced and have heard other people experience that in the very early quote unquote stages of grief, you have moments where you're like, this can't be real, this is a dream. You know, you feel like one day you're going to wake up and everything's going to return back to normal and that person or relationship that you've lost would automatically be there again. So one, have you ever experienced this? And two, how do you kind of combat those emotions? Because while it can seem like you're being hopeful, it can also affect you negatively when you realize, oh my gosh, no, they're not coming back. So how do you kind of combat those thoughts?
I think the brain is so interesting, especially when it's trying to protect you. And so, like, I've never experienced thinking or feeling as though this person's going to come back. That's not something I've experienced. So I can't really speak on how to cope with that, because that's a very unique happening. And I know people who've gone through that, but for me, even when I was a child and young, I just knew that death was a permanent occurrence. So I think I would grieve in a way in which I knew I was never going to see that person. And that stung differently than having the thought process of they may return one day. So I don't have much to say because I do not want to, you know, I ain't no doctor, y'all.
Yeah, gosh. Well, I'll say for me, since I have experienced that, it's just, honestly, like I said earlier, I kind of have to do snap myself back and be like, no. And it hurts to tell yourself, like, no, this person is not coming back. But you have to think about the good memories you had and be grateful for those, like I mentioned earlier. But also, if you are a Christian like myself and you know your personal walk with God, then you have to have that hope that you won't see them again on this earth. Mm-hmm. However, you have to know that they are doing much. And I used to hate when people say they're in a better place, but they are. And you just have to hope that one day you will also be able to be in that better place. I think is how I have to see it. So, I did have that question. So we don't have to answer it again about when you should seek help or therapy for grief. But I do want to know, in your personal experiences, what did you find the best ways that your loved ones supported you through your grief? Because someone watching this might not be grieving, but they might know someone who is and want to know how they can support them.
So one thing that I love about the people around me is that they're not going to let me go through it alone. Like, if I say I need something, they're not going to let me go through it alone. So I like to, when someone I know is grieving, I like to think about the day-to-day things that you don't want to do when you are in grief. So cooking, if that means I got to come over and cook, I'm going to come over and cook. If that means I got to help you clean your house, I will help you clean your house. I've even had to wash and condition and blow dry my friend's hair because that's time consuming. Like, we're thinking about time. We're thinking about self-care and how this person is probably battling with taking care of themselves quite literally. You know, and even just more intimately, I had an ex-partner of mine and he had lost somebody very close to him. And so I remember he just wasn't moving. And so I had to usher him to the bathtub and I bathed him. Like, it's really about taking care of somebody and being intimate in that, because when you're honest about the levels of grief and the depth of grief, you understand that it requires more than a get well card and some flowers. Sometimes it's not that brief. And this person can be in grief for months, years, like you don't know. So you really want to think about how can you take that extra mile and do something that may take you an hour, 2 hours out of your day. But means so much more to that person. So I think about day-to-day tasks.
I agree with that. Definitely helping them care for themselves other than a get well card, flowers. And I'll also say, like I just mentioned in the last one, I used to hate people saying that they're in a better place. So being mindful of that person's grief and not saying things that might upset them even more, because in the moments where you are deep in that grief, you don't want to hear, oh, but they're doing better. It's like, okay, but I don't want to hear that because I want them here. So just being mindful of how you communicate with the person who is grieving, and also being mindful. Think of things that you wouldn't want said to you while you're grieving, and also think of things that you would want said to you while you're grieving. Yeah, and another thing,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and another thing, simply ask. Sometimes we always say, we text people and like, let me know if you need anything. But we, as people, we don't want to bother people. So sometimes you just have to do it. Just go buy them dinner and bring it over there, or cook them dinner and bring it over there. Because most times when we say that, we don't hear back from that person. They don't tell us when they need something. It's very rare that they do. So I think just taking action rather than saying I'm here if you need me is super important.
Yeah, I agree. I especially about the part where, you know, you don't want to hear anything really positive when you're grieving. Like, the grieving process is typically ugly, even if it doesn't look like it on the outside. And so and also grieving is a selfish act. Yes. It's something that we do for ourselves. So the last thing I want to hear about when I'm consulting these deep, dark, and ugly feelings is how much light will be on the other side of this. Now, talk to me about this ugliness. Be here with me for a second. Allow me to be, you know, in deep sadness. And then as I exit that, then give me those words of encouragement.
Right, yes.
Like, don't do it on the front end, baby.
Because I will eat you up, like...
Hey, Tam.
So last thing I want to give is, what advice did you wish someone, or what is something you wish someone told you before you even grieved? And like I said, that's something we don't think about. We don't think about, hey, in case you grieve, but what's something you wish you knew?
I wish I knew that I wasn't crazy. Yeah, because like you said, especially a generation before, not even a generation before, about two generations before me, watching those women navigate grief. I remember when my grandmother's mother passed away, she didn't cry. She was cooking, she was organizing the funeral, she was buying flowers, she was doing all of the things, and I kept wondering, why isn't she breaking down? I'm so confused, and I'm a child, so I'm so confused. Because if my mother died, I would be in shambles.
I'm set
So
on
when
the
I got
floor.
older, yeah, when I got older and I started feeling these complex, dark emotions when things would happen to me or when people would pass away, I was trying to put on a brave face, and I wasn't able to keep it up because it's not how I grieve. I can't pretend in that way. And so I felt crazy. I felt like I was losing my mind because I didn't have any examples of this type of pain. I didn't have anyone tell me that it's normal to think these thoughts and to feel these ways and to be in your bed for days when things like that occur. So just for someone to have told me that it was healthy and fine, like you are a human with human feelings.
I agree. I think honestly the same thing, 'cause even now, when people pass, I look at my grandma and she's just like, "All right." I'm like,
Girl.
right. And honestly, my mom was explaining it to me. She was like, "The older you get, the more people you lose. So the more you experience grief and the more you're able to deal with it." So maybe if when my grandmother was younger, or when your grandmother was younger and they lost someone, it might have hit them how it's hitting us. But as they get older, and I hate she
Makes
said it
sense.
like that
No, it
because
makes
I'm
sense. As
like,
you get older, your relationship with the death changes. Your relationship with everything changes because you're more seasoned. You've
But at
been
the
there a couple
same,
times.
yeah, but then it's like, does that mean they're numb to it? Like that's how I initially thought of
That's
it.
interesting.
But you know, we don't know what happens when they're by themselves. I think it's just I have to be strong for the family because I'm the matriarch, but those alone times it might be different. So,
Yeah, I try
yeah.
to, and that's completely fine for other people, but I try to denounce the matriarch role because, baby, I can't take care of everybody. I'm tired. I'm hurting too. I need support. And I feel like matriarchs, they often don't get as much support as they desire or require.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with that. Before my great grandmother passed, we considered her our matriarch. And in her older age, I think she did so much for everyone when she could that we were so appreciative. It was like everybody was like, "Okay, what you need me to do for you?" Because she couldn't really do too much for herself. So they like everybody was taking care of her. And I think I agree with you. Like, I'd be tired and I'm just like, somebody else gonna have to be the matriarch when it's our time because it's not gonna be Courtney. But I think it's actually a beautiful thing to see how much she cared for us and how much we were
Yeah.
also appreciative of it. So yeah. But those were all of the questions I had on grief. If you had something else you wanted to share, or if someone wanted to comment another question, then that's pretty much.
I don't think I have much else to share. I do know that, like, if you are in grief, if you're feeling it, there's nothing wrong with what you're feeling. And if it becomes out of hand to the point where you can't manage it, seek help, even if it's within like family, even if it's within like friends, like talk to somebody about that and have somebody help you carry it. Because what you're doing by keeping it to yourself is you putting it on your back and your ankles are buckling. So really, really think about the people in your life that you can reach out to. And if you feel like you have no one, test somebody. Test somebody and just look at the people in your life as a resource. Don't think that you are alone, because even when we feel like we're alone, there's somebody. There's actually a lot of people who'll be on your side. So think about that.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. You brought a word. I'm definitely going to be rewatching this when I need it. So I want to thank you for joining us and dropping all of your gems. And thank you to our viewers. One other thing I always do, and I actually almost forgot because I haven't done a live in a minute. If someone wants resources for dealing on grief, do you have a specific platform you want to shout out? It doesn't even have to be your own, but someone you would like to shout out that they can go to for those resources.
The person that comes to head immediately is Ashley Hayes, spelled A-S-H-L-E-E Hayes. She's on Instagram, and she just does a wide range of things. She's a Black femme here in Atlanta, and she talks about grief. She talks about art. She talks about depression. She talks about a little bit of everything. So I definitely think to reach out to her. But also, like, think about changing who you follow. I don't only follow 400 people because I'm bougie and da-da-da-da. No, it's because I control what I'm intaking. And I like to follow a lot of mental health oriented folks because that's what I'm going to be consuming on a day-to-day spectrum. So even if this was before I could afford therapy, I was able to get help and tips and tricks from literally Instagram or Facebook. So just changing what you're digesting is a big deal.
I agree. I recently had to, when I was going through my little I don't love myself moments, my friend was like, okay, well, let's unfollow some people who are making you compare yourself to them, because that might be the issue.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to hear that. And she was like, okay. But when I did it, I noticed that wanting to compare myself wasn't there as much anymore, because I didn't have those people to look at to compare myself to. So, yes. But thank you for joining us, and thank you to everyone who has watched us.
Thank you. We're closing out, but I'll see you tomorrow.
That is all we have for today, and until next time, continue to practice freedom.
See you later, folks.
Bye. Bye, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Honestly, check out this shirt. More details coming soon. And if you came in late, then the live will be saved to our IGTV and uploaded to our YouTube.